Hey, before we get started, I just want to remind you that we relaunched our FC Insiders newsletter, and that is a great place for you to get news every week, Wednesday at 2 p.m. on brands like Adidas, Ann Taylor, Elf Beauty, Funko, Lowe's, Neiman Marcus, Pinterest, Puma, Rent the Runway, RX Bar, ThredUp, Tumi, Wayfair. Do I need to list any more? These are brands that have been on our show, and these are the brands that we're thinking of and how they are shaping the future of commerce. We believe that it's not about predicting the future as much as it is giving you tools and insights to shape your future, and we want to help you do that. So subscribe right now at futurecommerce.fm and get on the list. Let's get to the episode. Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. What if customer service could feel like a conversation between friends? Gladly is the customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By enabling B2C companies to focus on people talking to people, Gladly powers a lifetime of conversions across every channel from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in future commerce, demo. Future Commerce is brought to you by Klaviyo, whose customers have made more than $3.7 billion in revenue through Klaviyo's marketing platform in the last year alone. Choose to own your brand's growth with personalized marketing. Visit klaviyo.com/futurecommerce to find out more. Hello, and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian. And today we have a really interesting guest, someone we've been trying to get on the show for a long time.
For years.
Yeah. No. Oh, man. It has been years. It's so exciting to have him on. He is a super smart guy, Evan Moore, Vice President of Content and Commerce at NBC Universal. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you guys so much. I'm really excited to be here. And it's been like a couple years now since we've been talking, huh?
Yes, just about, I think.
I'm psyched to finally be here.
I told Brian, you know, if we want to get someone of Evan's stature, we're going to have to prove ourselves. And so, you know, we devised a plan to make ourselves just important enough to have you on. But we met you when you were still over at Goop.
That's right.
And maybe for people who don't know who you are or know your background and your role over there at NBC Universal, give us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm the Vice President of Content and Commerce over here at NBC Universal. For the past 11 or 12 years, I've been working mostly in a digital product capacity, actually, for a number of different companies, all at the intersection of content and commerce. So some past places I've been includes Ticketmaster. Prior to joining here, like we mentioned, I was the head of digital product over at Goop. And then a few years before that, I was at a direct-to-consumer company called Beauty Counter, which is also killing it these days. Yeah. So the last couple of years over at Goop, I really had a chance to put the content and commerce strategy into the world and drive a lot of massive commerce scale using the power of Goop's really strong content. And that was kind of what brought me over here to NBC. They're trying to do something very similar. They liked what I was doing over at Goop and wanted to see if I could apply those same strategies at scale across their content portfolio.
Wow. Yeah. So Goop is like the first, like, really strong example that I can think of taking an email newsletter and turning it into a commerce powerhouse.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Everybody thinks that Goop kind of came out of the woodwork just in the last few years. But it, as a company, they've been around for, I think, over 11 years now, just about that. And for the first 6 years of Goop's existence, They were just really a simple email newsletter. I think that at first, when they first started publishing it, it was really just recipes to begin with. It was just recipes that Gwyneth Paltrow wanted to send out to her group of 5,000 friends that she had at the time. She has a very, very big friend circle. And, you know, over the subsequent 6 years, it grew organically. And she really built a lot of equity with her audience around some really amazing and lucrative content verticals like, you know, clean beauty, high-end fashion, travel, home goods. And then just in the last 3 or 4 years, really started to turn on the faucet in terms of monetization and working, you know, together with brand partners to give them some really great some brand exposure to our audience and doing great integrations and retail integrations and experiential integrations. And then just a few years ago, actually launching their own e-commerce marketplace that started off as just being a multi-brand marketplace featuring products from those verticals that I mentioned. But then they also layered on top of that their own private label brands, including the G Label fashion line, their own line of wellness vitamins called Goop Wellness, and then also their line of clean beauty products. They've really been a leader in the clean beauty space, which proved to be quite a smart move. It's something that's kind of a massive movement these days, and the likes of Sephora and other giant retailers are getting into the game as well. So it was really cool to be there in those last couple of years and see them go from, you know, a company that was doing somewhere in the tens of millions of dollars in revenue up to where they are now, which is, I don't know what the revenue numbers are now, but by the time I left, they had more than quadrupled the size of the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's super impressive. What's interesting about having the content play that's coming first, we're seeing this in a lot of areas, but having content first really establishes ideals and allows you to, you know, have an audience that, you know, sort of fanatically or passionately can align with your ideals. I'm curious how you can take that kind of a career arc where you're building e-commerce or commerce that's centered around maybe a set of ideals or ideologies. And then sort of frame that in the world of, you know, a content first, you know, media organization in your role moving over to NBC. Maybe give us a little bit of an idea of how you think that fits in the world of where you're heading and what NBC Universal might be trying to do with that sort of a skill set that you have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if Goop spent a long time just building their audience before they started turning to commerce, NBC spent a long time as well. I think it's been, you know, 100 years of really building out our content and our audience. And you know, what the effect that you have there is that you build connection with your audience. You build trust with them. And, you know, I always kind of say that I think really good content is the antidote to over-personalization of the internet, right? Personalization algorithms have to start somewhere to decide what to show you. And that starts with who you are. And more these days, people identify themselves by the stories that they read and the stories that they tell about themselves as a result of that. And NBC is, I can't think of a better storytelling organization in the world over the last, you know, many decades than what NBC Universal represents today.
You said over personalization there. Go into a little more detail on what you meant by that, because I think that's an interesting concept.
I think we've all experienced this, right? Where, you know, we do a little bit of shopping on the internet, and then apparently we're the biggest fan of washing machines.
yes, totally.
Yeah. I have a story about buying a toilet seat on Amazon, and then for the next 2 years, they thought I had an insatiable desire for more toilet seats.
Yeah. And, you know, those algorithms are effective at driving that lower funnel activity and really closing the sale with the user, but they're not cognizant of who that person actually is. And I think that, you know, with everywhere we've gone with neural networks and machine learning, we still don't understand how people identify themselves and what, you know, meaning they derive from the products that they buy. And that's really going to be hard for machines to do.
Yeah. And Philip might be a toilet seat connoisseur, but it's not the only thing he cares about. It's not the only thing he cares about, you know?
Yeah. Wait until I launch my venture backed, you know, email newsletter to my 5,000 closest friends that also care about toilet seats.
I mean, I haven't seen a direct to consumer toilet seat company really come in and disrupt the space, Philip.
There is direct to consumer toilet paper.
Yes.
There's an interesting company called Bippy, who I've never purchased from, but I love the name of. It's an emerging category. I think maybe direct-to-consumer toilet seats might be a thing.
Yeah, but I think my point in saying that was like, maybe you do care about the thing you're seeing a lot, but it's not the only thing you care about. And it's like you get stuck down these like personalization holes. And, you know, it's like you can't get out of them. So so talk to us about the antidote a little bit. Why is content the antidote?
Yeah, you know, the stories that we tell and the stories that we read are kind of how we connect with the world. It's how we connect with each other. It's how we decide the kind of person that we want to be in the world. And based off of those things that we tell ourselves, it's what we decide to consume and the brands that we decide to align ourselves with. And so I think the position that NBCU occupies that's really interesting and super defensible is that, you know, we reach a massive part of the U.S. audience. I think the stat is that in any 4 weeks, we are in 90% of U.S. homes through some form of media, whether that's television or digital, telling stories that those people care about and providing a amazing platform for brands to then tell their stories and create connections with that audience. And that's something that is upstream of any sort of recommendation algorithm that you might encounter on your traditional e-commerce retailer, that is upstream of any sort of a marketplace or targeted ad.
It's interesting. Philip and I have talked about this before. Maybe offline more than on the show, actually, but the idea of building an audience first, even before doing market research, it's like you have stories to tell. Tell those stories and then figure out what market your audience, like what you can sell to that audience, what they care about, figure out what they need and then build a business. So it's audience, then market, then product.
Yeah. And because intrinsic in building an audience first is having something to say first. Right. And actually finding message market fit before you actually find product market fit.
Well, and that gets back to what Philip was asking about before, which was sort of the building authentic content that's value based. That's, it's stuff that you care about. And I think that, you know, Gwyneth did a very, very good job of writing about what she was passionate about. And I think that it resonated with a lot of people. And so therefore it was easy to swing back around and make a lot of money off of it.
And I think that's a really interesting model to learn from, because what we're going to see here is that the more the content resonates with one group of people, it's going to be dissonant to a whole nother group of people. Right. So the reaction that you see from anybody that doesn't like Goop is that Goop is terrible. And as we get to a place where more and more content is niche, that's going to be more and more common where, you know, if it's not something that you care about, then you're really not going to relate. And that just means that it's more and more important for brands to be putting themselves next to the sorts of stories that really align with their brand.
So let's kind of talk about your role at NBC Universal and what plans you might have to help tell more focused stories and align those directly to a more linear commerce experience.
Sure, absolutely. So one thing that we've launched over here at NBC Universal that's really our first example of us playing around with this content and commerce model is a site that we launched back in March. It's called Shop with Golf. It is part of the golf ecosystem of brands. So we're affiliated with the Golf Channel, Golf Advisor, Revolution Golf. And what we're really doing is filling a white space for the golf audience with a lifestyle content destination speaking towards the golf lifestyle. So we're not publishing content about how far to hit the ball. It's not about performance. It's not coverage of the game, but it's lifestyle content that relates to golfers, which golfers are actually a super sought after demographic, high income, discretionary spending, leisure time. In a lot of ways, golf is Goop for men. Is kind of one thing that I always kind of counter with. And so the site that we
promise, built, I promise I'm not going to make that the show title. I promise.
You liar.
I mean, there's a lot of similarities, right? Between Goop and golf. Four letters. They both start with G-O. Golf is also something that makes people feel kind of bad about themselves. Anyway.
Oh, no.
What I'm getting to is that, Shop with Golf really speaks to the 360 golf lifestyle. It's a sport of a lifetime, and everyone's favorite golfer is themselves. And so they really identify. Yeah. It's a vertical where people really identify as a golfer. And it's been a really interesting experience to, you know, at the same time as we're standing up a content destination and building a voice and an editorial authority around a content space, to actually also at the same time ramp up a really interesting marketplace of brands that are featured next to that content. So just over the past 6 months, we've actually brought over 44 different brands. I think it's 45 brands onto the marketplace right now. And not just your straightforward big box retailer golf brands that you'll find anywhere, but really niche, high-end, fashion forward golf brands like Roan, Foray Golf, yep. Cricket, yep. Linksoul, Jay Lindberg, William Murray Golf. And actually at the launch we did of Shop with Golf, we did a really fantastic campaign where Bill Murray and his brothers actually produced and shot an original music video for the Shop with Golf launch, which was, yeah. If you haven't seen it, you have to go find it. You can find it on our site, shopwithgolf.com, or on YouTube. It was really just fantastic to be working with them and to have that commercial. And it, you know, it was a really great way to launch the brand. And the, you know, working really closely with the Golf Channel, they've been super appreciative of us creating this content space that hasn't really existed before for the average golfer. And also to be kind of tapping into this this real zeitgeist movement that's going on around golf to put something out in the world that's much more akin to what you might have seen with skate or surfwear, yeah, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. And we really do see that there's a movement of these younger direct-to-consumer brands that are appealing towards people to want to take golf and bring it into their whole lifestyle. And so that's been really, really fun and really great to work with. And I've had a great time with that myself.
I mean, not for nothing. It's probably because everybody that was in the skate or surf culture is now old enough to be playing golf.
That's exactly. Right.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com. And be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. For today's discerning customers, customer service has become the new marketing. The world's most customer-centric brands are realizing that great personalized experiences are the difference between thriving and dying. And that's why Gladly built a customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By focusing on the customer, Gladly helps power a lifetime of naturally productive conversations across any channel, from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. Gladly helps companies better understand who their customers are, like what did they last reach out about, and whether or not they're more particular to kicking it in a pair of high tops or wingtips. With key customer context at their fingertips, companies can meet their customers where they are, and they're empowered to build the kinds of relationships that drive long-term loyalty and long-term revenue. It's tough to try to build a customer experience for the next 50 years using the technology of the past 50 years. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in Future Commerce, demo. Future Commerce is brought to you by Klaviyo. What do sophisticated direct-to-consumer brands like ColourPop, Huckberry, and Custom Ink all have in common? Well, they're all powered by Klaviyo.
Klaviyo is the growth marketing platform that is trusted by over 20,000 online businesses. They have a dedicated team of experts and a platform that consumes more data than any other on the market. And Klaviyo can help you own the customer experience to grow higher value relationships. From a shopper's first impression to each subsequent purchase, Klaviyo understands every interaction and empowers brands to create more personalized marketing moments. When you have a 360-degree view of the customer, the growth possibilities are endless. I want you to check them out today by visiting klaviyo.com/futurecommerce to learn more. Once again, that's klaviyo.com/futurecommerce. I was kidding, but I might actually ascribe to that idea, which is that there is a certain type of a consumer who is, you know, more prone to want to identify with content or lifestyle marketing that has, you know, that can weave stories in and out of their actual needs or apparel needs, or their way to identify with a lifestyle, and that is that customer. They just grew up, which is super interesting.
Yep. And the thing we're hearing from the brands that we're working with is that they are super appreciative to actually have a platform to tell their stories. Mm. And that's the main learning that I'm taking away from this, is that we have the ability to provide platforms for brands to tell stories, and then we can help them tell those stories in ways that are relevant to the audiences that we reach, that articulate their brand values, and that are super performant in terms of actually driving real direct commerce to those brands.
I cynically was thinking when we started this that we were just going to only be talking about how we can sell more Minions to people watching Minions, which is, I'm sure somebody somewhere on your side is thinking of that, but it's a super interesting play to start with golf. What do you think? How does that mature? You're building a marketplace then.
Yep. Yeah, we're definitely building a marketplace. And, we're looking in the future in 2020 towards how can we do this at scale across the portfolio. And that might take a different form than what Shop with Golf has taken. I think that, like I said before, there was a white space in terms of content out there already for the golf audience. Nobody is writing about the golf lifestyle and golf apparel or any of the related products or brands in the way that we're doing that right now. But that's not similarly true about verticals like beauty or fashion or home. And so when we're looking at our portfolio brands that we have here, like Bravo and E, there might be different ways in which that manifests itself. But it's still going to take the form of creating a marketplace of really interesting brands, providing them a platform to tell super engaging stories around relevant content, and then reaching audiences that care about it.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is that NBC is not going to be launching their own sort of brands to complement these shows. Is that true?
Well, I can't confirm necessarily what the specific results are going to be. What I can say is that our position here is not to try to compete with retailers. We are not going to be a retailer, but we are trying to become and are becoming a channel for both retailers, consumer packaged goods, good brands. And then really, I think DTC brands are a big part of that as well going forward.
Yeah, they stand the most to gain, right? Yeah. Because they need to connect with an audience, and it's harder for them now than ever to connect with that audience as, customer acquisition costs are on the rise.
Yeah, if you look at what's going on with Away and Amazon right now, I think that what we're doing can serve as a really effective antidote for brands like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, shopwithminions.com is available if you want it, Evan.
The Minions, they sell themselves.
Yeah, you just let them go.
Actually, speaking of which, what about the sort of like bringing commerce even closer to the customer, to the viewer, to the audience? In context purchasing is an exciting thing that, is ahead for all of us. I think, think back to the Web Smith 2 p.m. tweet about, why can't you just buy, Netflix merch in the moment? I can imagine, NBC is got to be thinking about.
I mean, Peacock is coming. That was just announced.
Peacock is coming. Yep. Peacock is around the corner.
Yeah,
absolutely. I am a huge, huge believer and proponent of shoppable formats across digital mediums. I think it's just in the last 18 months, you've seen all of the major social platforms launch some form of shoppable format, including Instagram checkout, Snapchat, TikTok just announced theirs just a few weeks ago. What it's showing is that consumers are more willing to transact wherever they are when they're using their digital devices, and that the actual e-commerce experience is no longer a differentiator as much as it is a commodity. And so some of the bigger e-commerce retail brands are really putting themselves in the position of just competing on selection, price, and logistics, which is not a super exciting place to be, especially when you're trying to push high margin luxury brands.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, I think that one trap that we see that, well, it's very difficult to create a brand that, you know, deserves being somewhere for sale. But I think if you had an interesting content to brand or content to, I think this is a half form thought, which by the way is sort of a theme for me on this show. But you think about the effect that like a Rick and Morty can have in the zeitgeist of, you know, having you know, the Szechuan sauce, you know, coming back to McDonald's. I do think that Szechuan sauce will not be at McDonald's forever, but it is a hallmark of like the kind of thing that a consumer demand can create, you know, based on media. I have to wonder if having the content that you have, if I'm watching 30 Rock and Liz Lemon talks about cheesy blasters, I would buy cheesy blasters in the moment. I would.
There's the brand play.
Yeah. The brand play really is that things don't have to be durable and last forever, but I might want them in the moment. And you provide the portal for the opportunity for me to want that in the moment. It doesn't have to live forever. It can live for as long as I care about it.
Right? Yeah. And I think that you were seeing that at a larger scale when you look at brands, like what the Kardashians have done. When you look at, you know, what's going on with Glossier, where, fandom and interest around either personalities or content itself is then creating a market, and the, you know, the connection between, or the line between where the content starts and the brand begins, it really starts to blur, and it just shows that people are buying stories. They're not buying goods anymore.
Maybe we don't even call them brands anymore. I mean, that maybe like we just call them stories or like something else. I don't know what the term would be, but effectively it's just either the story lasts, you know, longer or it lasts shorter. Like it might just be a quick hit and you've got to and the people that are selling that story or brand need to recognize what kind of story they're telling. Short form or long form?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I wanted to make sure we don't skip over a meat cat reference in the cheesy blaster thing you mentioned there. By far my favorite throw off character from 30 Rock. Yeah,
100%.
Oh my gosh.
And he hops on his skateboard and flies away. Thanks, meat cat. Freaking amazing. If you were to look at sort of your takeaway, so, you know, you're in a very prestigious organization. I'm sure you have, you know, doing things probably is not the hardest. I mean, probably not the easiest thing, you know, you're building, you're in a larger organization these days. I wonder if you could sort of compare and contrast what it's like bringing these types of, transformational and almost experimental initiatives inside of a larger organization, how that compares with your prior experience.
You know, what's really been interesting is coming into a place that, you know, has been just successful for such a long period of time. I would have expected to get more resistance to bringing in new ideas. And it's been exactly the opposite. The hunger that is here to innovate and to continue to grow and to push the envelope and to not just match what other competitors are doing in the marketplace, but to go diagonal and actually get somewhere new ahead of them has been really, really exciting. And you know, specifically where I'm at within NBC Universal is surrounded by a whole lot of creative people. And I've never been in a space to be surrounded by so many empowered creatives, working with so many resources and so much opportunity to actually have an impact. And that's really what got me over here. That's really what is exciting to me, is the ability to do something different, impactful, valuable, both to consumers and to brands, and then to just do it at such a massive scale.
So what you're saying is you had the latitude to create the Pontiac Aztec.
Wow. Listen, that is an underappreciated car, the Pontiac.
I love that that episode of Pretty Rock. Yeah. Okay. No, it's great. It's really cool to hear that you have so much freedom within such a big org, and like you said, like it seems like big orgs that do focus on creative have the most potential. I think that's a takeaway that I'm hearing here. Like, what should big companies be doing in order to, you know, big merchants be doing in order to separate themselves from other people? I think right now we have this moment in time where artistry and creatives should lead the way. They should be number one. If we talk about where the money ends up and in this whole process, they should be the ones that end up with the money, because they're the ones that are ultimately going to be the rainmakers when it comes to capturing attention.
Absolutely.
And writing these stories, building these brands, you know, creating this content. I think this is artist moment here and now, and big companies, big merchants should be paying attention to what NBC Universal is doing, because you guys, I think you've got it right.
I mean, obviously I agree with you. I think especially when you look in the world of CPG brands, what is more important right now for them than telling stories?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. And there's an interesting story developing there too, around, you know, the way things are packaged and how beautiful, a Target can execute next to, the old tried and trues that are on the shelf next to it. You know, more millennial centric, more millennial aesthetic is actually becoming more broadly appealing to everybody. So I guess, let me ask you this. If where do you see the future playing out as far as, you know, building out marketplaces? You see, you said it's becoming more niche and more focused. How do you create inside of a company that has content across so many different areas? And we've joked about it here, but truthfully, like, do you see hundreds and hundreds of marketplaces, or is there some, you know, grand consolidation that has to happen in the end?
What I see going on in the future is the decentralization of marketplaces. Mm. At the same time as the proliferation of multiple content channels, right? And I think that the commerce is going to stay attached to the content, closely coupled to the content wherever it is, across whatever platform, whatever medium. And the targeting, the niche of the marketplace really is going to come into play in terms of how well the content is actually targeted towards the person that's consuming it, and then how well the commerce is actually aligned to that content.
Yeah, you have a unique vantage point to be able to now more than ever know who's interacting with the content and try to personalize it to them. Do you feel like you fall prey to the same type of trap then in sort of boxing people into certain, you know, quants segments of the things they want? Like, how do you introduce then in your world that serendipity for them to discover things that, you know, they wouldn't otherwise have seen?
And I think that gets back to, you know, working within a world of empowered creatives. Obviously, the quantitative analysis is an input, but what it really serves to is a super important constraint to the creative process, right? So the antidote to becoming over-personalized is having empowered creatives that are looking at the data and then making creative decisions about what that data actually means, as opposed to just trying to serve immediately what they're seeing in front of their face. Like the adage that I would fall back on is that Henry Ford's, if I listened to the consumer, I would have built a faster horse, right? You don't take the data as gospel for what you're doing next. You just understand that as an input for what should happen next.
You've got to get out ahead of the consumer. It's not just, you know, they don't have the vision to know what they really want. You're sort of saying Apple is right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, Tim Cook is getting a lot of flack right now because they haven't rolled out anything that's necessarily a quantum leap. But we're at a point where it's going to take a lot of ingenuity and a lot of really creative thinking to do something really new. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years Apple comes out and does something that none of us are even predicting right now.
We are at a very interesting time in history, that's for sure. Evan, this has been such an amazing, it's like flown by this last 30 minutes, it's been an amazing conversation. I'm curious what you think the, you know, the future is for, you know, direct to consumer brands who are, you know, looking to engage new audience and what your role is there. And maybe some advice you can give some that, you know, feel like they're struggling to get that audience, what, you know, some steps that they could take would be to, you know, to help grow and engage.
Sure. I mean, so I think that they should be taking a second look at television and at linear. That's one of the more exciting things that I heard when I was at the Commerce Next conference that I know both of you are also at, which I heard a number of times different DTC brands saying with some surprise that the channel that they were seeing overperform and provide the most growth for them was actually television and linear. And you know, I think that the scale that we can bring to them in terms of the size of our audience, the diversity of audiences that we reach, and the power and quality of the storytelling that we have that we put in front of those audiences is just a huge opportunity for DTC brands that are looking to take that leap and stop you know, receiving the diminishing returns that they're getting from their traditional marketing channels. Everybody's seeing higher cost per acquisition on Facebook. Everybody's seeing higher cost per acquisition on Instagram, and search is just completely you know, untenable for most DTC brands. And what we offer is a place to just really go around that, directly connect with the consumer, tell your story, and do it at a national scale. And a level of quality that's really hard to compete with.
I think that's really, really sage advice. I think I was just at grocery shop and Dirty Lemon or Iris Nova, their parent company, they when they initially launched into the market, they were spending $30,000 a day on social. And that continued for a long time. But recently they got to the point just in December where they stopped doing all paid on Instagram and Facebook. And Zach Normandin said that they're taking the company and they're going like 100% into video, or not, or he didn't say 100%. He said they're going to focus on video. They found it to be a much stronger channel. I can't help but imagine or guess that that long form stories and television could be part of that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the wall between quote unquote digital video and television is crumbling right now. And the difference between those two things is almost negligible. And that is actually a fantastic development for us.
How can people get in touch with you, Evan? Where can they find you on the internet?
If they want to see me never tweet, they can find me at Evo Moore on Twitter. I also am on LinkedIn, and I also can be found never posting pictures on Instagram under also Evo Moore.
Yeah, you're really selling it. And Shop With Golf is a great place for them to engage with some brands if they're so inclined.
Absolutely. Definitely check out shopwithgolf.com. I also want to give a huge props to my team here over the content and commerce team. They do a fantastic job every single day providing great stories and great opportunities for all of our brand partners. And also huge props to all of our brand partners on the Shop With Golf marketplace who have been just fantastic to work with.
Oh, this has been great. Thank you so much, Evan Moore of NBC Universal. Thanks for joining us. And thank you all for listening to Future Commerce. We want you to lend your voice to the story. You can best do that at futurecommerce.fm or anywhere where podcasts are found. We really do appreciate your review. And go give us a 5-star. You can get us at Spotify or at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on any smart speaker device. And as we always say, we're not here just to predict the future. We're going to give you tools and insights to help you shape your future. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Future Commerce. Remember, please give us a review and a 5-star review at that, wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Premium, or Spotify. We also have a YouTube channel that we've just launched where you can find all of the audio versions of our show, as well as premium video content. A few shout outs here. The audio version of our show is produced by Chris Harry at Pod Sherpa. The show notes are written by Jordan Griffey, and social media is coordinated by Sophia Ellick. Scheduling and coordination is provided by Aaron DeCruz, and our intro music is composed and performed by Spectral Wolf. Future Commerce is a production of Protein Commerce LLC. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, we don't exist to try to predict the future. We exist to provide you insight and the tools that you need to shape your future. Thanks for listening.